Good afternoon, everyone. Water has come up before today, but looking at practice in the vineyard, what we're going to do now is to look at practice in the winery. Obviously, the two can't necessarily be taken separately, but it's it would be good to sort of look at what we're doing. And obviously, we have with us people who are growing wines or involved in wine growing in quite different locations in terms of the sort of prevailing availability of water, a number of other factors, and this is something we keep on returning to with what we're up to with SWR, that every time you want to try and draw a definitive conclusion or a definitive practice must be thus, actually you discover that falls apart on the grounds that different places need to work in different ways because of the prevailing realities. So what I'm going to do is ask, and Robert, good to see you. Thanks for being here. What I'm going to do is ask each of the speakers to sort of, first of all, introduce themselves and give some initial thoughts on these issues from their own perspective. I would, however, just like to quickly make a remark on one of the comments that one of the speakers made in our sort of email exchange before we started, which is that if you take the logic of using less water to its extreme, then we end up using no water at all, and therefore we have no wine. So there is obviously a way of optimizing use of water rather than necessarily always minimizing. So that's kind of the scene set. So I'm going to do my usual process, which is to start at the top left of my screen and work that way, which Andres means you're up first. So say who you are and give your initial comments on this topic.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Peter. Thank you all for being present today. My name is Andres Valero. I'm the sustainability leader at Grupo Avinea. We are an Argentinian wine group localized in Mendoza and Chubut with different wineries from Bodega Argento, Pacheco Pereda, Otronia, among others. And when talking to water, for me as the leader on the sustainability programs, I try to divide the issue in three that are interconnected but need to be covered by their own. First is the knowledge on the resources, where the water is coming from. Then is the actual water use at the winery. And finally, how we treat that water in a way that can be reused at the end of the life. In terms of the knowledge on the resources here, just to give some context, in Mendoza, especially the water is scarce. We are in the rains average is 200 millimeters each year, therefore we're a semi-desert area, and we do not depend on the rain to produce, but on the snow that come during the winter from the Andes Cordillera that melt during summer, and that feed all the watershed of the different system we have. Some infiltrate to the groundwater system, and some go through the river and is channeled for agriculture and for the use of the communities here. In the last 12 years, the average snow at the Andes Cordillera have been below the historic average. So we can start to see that climate change is having this very specific local impact. And specifically last year, the snow on the Cordillera was only 25% of this average. Therefore, did have an impact because we are living in a severe drought during the years, and for most of the project that we are in, water we get the groundwater from the different aquifer. Therefore, we need to do a borehole. We need to pump the water, and the levels are going deep every year, meaning that water for us is linked to energy, and I think that's why it's very important to know where your resources come from, because we need to pump water from 30 to 200 meters deep for the different use. Therefore, we get this link when we get to the use part.
Thanks for that, Andres. And again, I think it's very interesting to see how, and we've seen this a lot in the discussions we've had over the last couple of years, how sustainability, particularly on the environmental side of things, is sort of becoming not just the sort of we're getting the pressure from ESG or it's a discussion in the press. These are actually issues that are real for different growers around the world, and they manifest themselves in different ways. Okay, so come to Nicolas next. The Loire area of France is not known as being as dry as Argentina. So how do the issues that you pick up on resonate where you are?
Yeah, so I'm Nicolas Daspre. I'm a program coordinator for Terravitis. Terravitis is a French certification. We are about 2,000 wine growers, trading companies and cooperatives in France. And it's roughly 45,000 hectares in Terravitis in France, just to give a... And the idea of the certification is to be more sustainable. And it's been running for 25 years. And from the beginning, water was a concern, not the biggest one, of course, because the situation was quite different. But we know that France is not in the worst position for water compared to some countries who unfortunately are in the big troubles already. But with climate change, we see some troubles, especially in the south part of France, and even in the northern parts, some years, like last year, were quite difficult. And the main problem is that we use water in the winery when it's low water period. And therefore, it's quite difficult to explain to people that we will use big amounts of water when the water is quite low in the rivers or in the underground. And it's to make wine. Most of the people like wine, but if you think about it, of course, as you said in introduction, why should you use water to drink something different if you can drink the water directly? Maybe the pleasure is quite different too, but anyway, it's some discussions that we didn't see 10 or 15 years ago and that you start to see. So it's very important for us to optimize. And also the second reason is that you know that the financial cost might be higher and higher for accessing water. So if you can start reducing your consumption today, it might be even on a financial aspect very important for the future.
Okay, thanks very much. And again, I think something else that we're beginning to see resonate quite a lot in what we're, and not just in water, but across these debates, it is that sort of financial balance. You know, we've been doing, as you know, some work on bottle weight. And one of our members was saying how much money, by reducing the bottle weight, how much money they're going to save in taxation because of the extended producer responsibility. So I think it's interesting to see how some of these things are not just a purely environmental issue, but they are also, they do have quite significant ramifications financially. Right, so to move on down the I think it's the N18 from the Loire down towards Bordeaux. Robert, same country, different growing conditions. Tell us about the situations that you're facing and how you're managing them.
Yes, good afternoon. Robert Eden from Chateau Maris in the Languedoc, actually, in Occitanie region in the south of France on the Mediterranean coast. I understood today, Peter, that we were discussing about water in the winery. I'm not sure if that's still the case. It seems to be the conversation was veering towards the vineyards or general water use. Anyway, we can come back perhaps to general water use. I want to stick to the topic of in the winery. It's very clear that we use a lot of water in the winery. And I don't know about you, Andres, but I feel that a lot of the wineries that I visit and neighbors, et cetera, we don't have any measuring tools to actually measure how much water we are using in the winery. And I think that we have to recognize, as both other panelists have recognized today, the importance of water use, or rather how we should reduce the amount of water we're using. We cannot even begin to consider that question unless we know how much we are using today. So to me, the most important fact to discuss and the most important point to share with everybody around the world making wine is that we must install in all of our wineries water meters to really understand and to really monitor exactly how much water we are using. Often the meters, you know, one would sort of think that that's relatively simple because we pay for water, but often the meters are also attached to another sort of area of water consumption, maybe a house, maybe an office, maybe a restaurant, maybe another asset on the vineyard or around about. So it's really important to isolate that water use to the winery and to measure that water use in the winery. I think then beyond, once you get that, one becomes more conscious of what one's doing. And you can start working with all your team in the winery and start explaining to them why we want to reduce it, because look at how many liters we're using. And to Nicholas's point, you know, it's actually getting expensive these days. So we want to reduce the cost. Let's try and reduce the amount of liters that we're using. How are we going to do that? And then comes all the tools that we can use. I mean, I'm still amazed about the number of wineries where we have, you know, very simple screw taps, which are still operating in the wineries. And we all know that screw taps, you know, they leak and they drip, and constantly there are constant problems that we have to tighten up. And if you're not onto it every single day, so I think there are a number of different tools that we can use in order to ensure that actually when we stop using the water, we release the pressure and the water stops, rather than letting the water run and having to go back to where the tap was in order to turn off the tap or et cetera. So I think there are several tools that we can also apply to help us reduce the amount of water we're using. And then comes the type of water, as Andres says, where is the water coming from? I think it should be obligatory that every wine cellar should be recuperating rainwater. You know, I don't see why you should have a roof and not recuperate rainwater to be able to use in maybe washing materials or whatever you may be using. And it's that's the whole aspect of reuse. Also, I believe, must become obligatory. We have to be able to divert clean water use and dirty water use, and we have to be able to filter the dirty water in order to be able to reuse it again, maybe for washing tractors at the end of harvesting or et cetera, et cetera. These are all things that we put in place at Chateau Marison. We've saved tens of thousands of liters of water we've reduced from a freshwater source. So I really think that we cannot go on justifying to make wine using the amount of water we use. So everybody needs to really get into the action of measuring how much water they use and then taking actions to reduce the amount of water they use and reuse as much as they can. Voila my points, Peter.
Thanks very much indeed. Those points are well made, Robert. And it's, I guess, one question I'd pick up on from all of that is, how could we better spread best practice? I mean, it's interesting, Robert, what you were saying is that to some extent, even the sort of the basics aren't being done in some locations. So what do you see? And I'll ask this question to all three of you. What sort of vehicles would be most effective to sort of share that best practice? Because if everyone's having to learn from first principles, then obviously that means that the learning process is slower. So what might be effective means of doing that? I'll start off with you, Nicola, because you're obviously, as a standards owner, that's part of what you're trying to do. How does that happen? How do you also learn from practice in other parts of the world?
We try to share the good experiences and try to have some compulsory things that you have to do. For example, in Terra Vitis, you should have normal screws are completely banned, and you have to have, I don't know the real name in English, sorry, it's automatic stop guns or something like this for water. You will translate in good English for everyone. So it's something, it's not a lot, but if you start with this and then you can speak about the subject, then you have to, it's compulsory also to assess your annual consumption. Each year you have to know what water you use and how you can reduce, of course. And the idea is that we try to bring more and more people to do a roadmap for reducing water consumption. And what we try to do is have an ESR approach. I don't know if you know this idea. It's efficiency, substitution, and reconception. If you can go to the reconception and can do a new winery or buy new infrastructure, it's very good because you can design it with the objective of low impact for energy use, for water consumption, and so on. But most of the people we work with will not be able to afford a new winery in the following years. So what you can do is try to look at, with what you have, how can you make it work better? And we do this by trying to train people. We work with a researcher that work. I have a colleague, for example, the office next to mine. He works with different pipes and tanks and everything. He will dirt them and try to wash them in a very effective way. It's funny as a researcher, but it's very useful. And then we have several methods that some are expensive and some are really cheap. It's just a new way of doing things. Just for instance, if you use foam to wash surfaces, foam is 80% air. So it's roughly 20% water less than if you wash only with water on a cleanser. And then if you use medium pressure instead of high pressure, most of the time you see high pressure everywhere because the most powerful it is, the better it should be. But in fact, it's not. If you use high pressure, you will first use a lot of water, more energy, and you will recontaminate some parts because there is a big spray after you wash. And if you use medium pressure, a lot of those problems are reduced and you can still have the same effectiveness in cleaning. So that's some of the methods we try to share with people, or just, for example, to clean your pipes. Instead of pushing with water and cleanser, you can have a scraper that you push inside, like a bowl that you push inside the pipes. And with this, you can reduce the amount of water that you use by about 80%. So it's all those actions done together could be very interesting. And even if you don't change or buy anything new, you can reduce the amount of water just by using it better and having a better understanding of how you could be clean and consume less water. So that's the main idea of trying to have the network going strong and people talking to each other and having people, expert people about these subjects that can bring their knowledges and try to make it simple so that everyone will try to do it in the business. And what I said in the last session, because sorry, it's the last session you will see me, but I was in the last one. One of the main problems we have is that people don't have the time to be an expert on everything, especially if you're in a small business and you are 2, 3, 4 people on the industry, but you cannot be an expert on everything. So we have to make it simple, but effective. And that's the main difficulty.
Thanks for that. I think sometimes it is actually that sort of granular level of detail, which is actually really the most interesting, because it is about how you cut down a very, very potentially big problem into doable chunks that are easily replicable. You know, how to wash your hands, fairly simple thing, but in a way which, you know, okay, one washing of hands may not waste much water, but you start to do that several times a day, everyone doing it, the cumulative effect is quite significant. Andres, what putting the same question to you, you know, how do you start, how, you know, what stories like that do you have as well?
Yeah, I think Robert and Nicolas bring great points related to the issue, especially with measuring. As Robert said, if you don't start doing at least a very rough measuring on the different area of the winery, especially if the winery is separating in different management, we have, in our case, a bottling facility, the winery that is crushing the grapes, but then when we get the different mix for bottling line. So we have different area, different manager. If we don't tell them what specific amount of water on the general water use of the company they are using, they may be very unlikely to invest on reducing their side of the water. In our case, for example, the bottling line will be consuming a liter of water of every liter of wine they bottle in, but in the winery that number changed to half a liter or even less. So it's nice to first measure in the water, try to differentiate the different users on the watery, and have this KPI that sometimes I think that we don't have a global KPI for water usage on the water, and that's good because we know that all wineries have different structure and all business have different structure. And for us, we have a KPI related to the amount of water use depending on the amount of grape that we crush in the winery, that is very different from the bottling line, that there we focus on the amount of water we use, focusing with the amount of wine that is being bottled there. Saying that, I think once you got this sense of how much water that you're using, it's easy to approach the major process that are using water. Of course, that we know that in the winery, all the cleaning all process are the one that consume more the water. You need to have your winery as clean as possible. And we start saying that despite we are not, sometimes technology can be a barrier. Of course, we know that the optimal project will be having all SIP in place, that having all this piping that you can just program and have everything clean. We know that for all our wineries, that won't be a case, at least for the next couple of years. But still, despite we don't have the technology, we can start reusing, for example, alkaline solution for cleaning. So we figure out how that will work for us. And we try, we research, and we are using the alkaline solution of sodium hydroxide at least 3 times before it discard to the wastewater treatment plant. And I think that can be a good way to approach that, even if you are a large or a small company and you say, well, you will find soon in the future the technology solution to that, it's most important to cover the culture as aspect of that. We have figured out that most of the misuse of water that we have in the winery are due to some cultural deviation, that people are not following the right standard to clean. Even when there is no technology, if you have the right standard, you say like, we need for this task, this amount of water, you will be using a reasonable amount of water. We figure out that many times when we get a deviation in our water usage in a month is because someone left a pipe open and leaving water. Therefore, we say first we need to make easy for the employees, because we can have all the standards in the world, but if we don't get the employees to understand why we are doing what we are doing, it gets easier. But also we need to facilitate them and to make them understand why we are trying to save water and how is that impacting not only their tasks on the winery, but on the community that they live on. And I think that's the better way to approach it. And it's harder, because also during the harvesting season, we have many people coming and going for the winery, many temporal jobs that will only be working with us for a couple of months. And generally, these are the kind of worker that is harder to teach the culture of the company in terms of water use. But there you have to approach that, say like, this is not a problem for the winery, it's a problem for the community, and you can be part of the solution and try to make them conscious of that. You can have the best technology in the world, the best standards, but if you don't have the people willing to do so and you don't convince the people first, you may still have problem on the water use by the end of the season.
Yes, I like that, isn't it? You can put in all the training and all the equipment you like, but it can sometimes come down to the problem is human stupidity. But as in so many other areas of life. A question in the chat, and obviously if other people have questions, please put them in the chat, from Joanna Mesquita, talking about reuse of water and A, how to capture it, B, what treatments it needs in order that it can then be reused. Robert, I'll come to you first on that.
Yeah, I just think it's just a really good point that Andreas was making. In order to divide up where the uses are, that also answers in part the question of reuse, because it depends on where or what process the water has been subjected to requires a different form of treatment and is allowed a different form of reuse. I would say that the important thing is to have processes and protocols in place. And to come back to your original point, Peter, is, to me, you know, we have to have examples. Terra Vitis, I was interested in hearing some of the suggestions that you put forward to your members, Nicola. You know, I'd be interested to know how many of them are actually obligatory in order to be certified Terra Vitis. And I still think we need some very big water users, so some very big producers and some very big bottlers to take the lead on this, and to help put in places for even the smaller people some processes and protocols which could then give us some standards to adhere to, which would allow us to become even better at our control. But you know, dividing it up into the separate parts of being vinification, crushing, vinification, and then bottling is obviously a necessary step. And then to have some within these certifications, you know, is to have some obligatory steps to take. Otherwise, one isn't certified. I liked, you know, the comments earlier. What is the point of regenerative viticulture, right? Planting trees and all that stuff, you know, if we run out of water, trees require water. So we have to be careful. And, you know, somebody said earlier, right, you know, we're going to run out of water before the climate crisis really, you know, hits us. So this is the key topic. We desperately need some action on this. Down here in the south of France this year, we've had a terrible level of rainfall. We have all our water sources are much lower than in previous years, and this is on top of 3 years of already low water usage. So I would say that this is a the methods of reuse depends on the origin of the water. How you treat that depends on the origin of water. There are multiple ways. There are multiple technologies now being put in place. They're getting cheaper and cheaper and even more efficient as well. So, you know, you're going to be able to, in the end, no matter, even if you're the most horrible chemical user, you'll probably be able to treat the water properly in order to be able to be reused at some level in the process. So I hope that answers the panel's question. But I'd like to know from Nicola, you know, because this is what you ask people. Great. So how do we go forward? Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm taking up your space. But how do we go forward? I'd like to know from Nicola. What are the obligations? What are the obligations to be Terra Vitis? You know, what are the obligations that you can or that you have put in order to have people be Terra Vitis through water use?
With water use in the winery, the regulations, the obligations, for Terra Vitis are not really high. As I told you, it's first, you don't have to have normal screws. You have to have automatic stop hoses and everything. And you have to assess your consumption of water. And then you have to you have an obligation in Terra Vitis to train yourself to something technical, but not each 2 years you should be in a training or something technical, but it could be in the vineyard, in the winery, about environment. So most of the people will do something related to environment or new production methods. But I cannot tell you how many have done this about water use, because I don't have the data. And the main idea is that we try to push them step by step. Once again, you are a wine grower. I'm not, and I know it's quite because I see it, it's quite difficult to assess everything at the same time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are doing it step by step. So what we really try to do is that because we are a collective network, try to use this collective network and invite, as I said, people to sensibilize and to bring solutions. Because most of the people now, they know that you have to be careful with a resource. They try to be more effective. But if you don't have the new ideas and if you don't have the time to do the research by yourself, research of informations, it's quite difficult. So what we try to bring them is not a recipe, but the ingredients to make their own recipe on how to be more efficient and to reduce their consumption. And the fact also that we assess the consumption each year, it allows people to compare. The idea is not to be a competition, it's more to understand why am I 5 or 6 times higher than the other ones. And we did the same with pests, for example, for spraying. And this way of doing things has been very effective because a lot of people have been thinking, I thought I was very effective with pest management and I'm 2 or 3 times higher than my neighbors and there is a problem. So that's what we try to do. And for reuse, just to mention reuse, we have it's very interesting, but the regulation can be a limiting factor because we are in the food industry and the regulation is quite strict about this, so you cannot reuse everything. And we have to either you have a new water or you can filter and have a really expensive technology to have a clean water to reuse. And if you don't have it, you can work with different flows and have a study of how polluted the water from washing something is and how much you have to dilute it to reach the regulation standards for clean water. But this needs a real study and it's side by side because it would be a different way. And just to answer one of the questions in the discussion, is gravity flow effective and used widely? I think it's effective and I think it's the best if you can design a new winery. But you have to think it in both ways. For example, for water consumption, the elevator mats that you use to bring the grapes are very, very, have a bigger water consumption to clean them. And if you have gravity for your grapes, when you bring it, you can save a lot of water without having gravity for water, but you have gravity for your grapes. I don't know if I'm really clear. Anyway, I think you understand the point, but maybe it's a bit foggy.
But I think the point you make is a good one, that that if you get to design these things from first principles, it's a lot easier, but that obviously has large capex costs. So it's a question of what you can do within the context of what you have now. And fine, you can then, if at the next point at which you reinvest, you can change things, but it's how you make the best of what you've got for the time being. I also think what's quite interesting about this discussion, and Andres, I'm going to come to you last in a minute about this point, is this degree to which organizations like Terravitis, as well as being a sort of certification and evaluation network, structure, also provides this network of expertise to help different wineries get towards good practice. Because one of the things we've seen in quite a lot of areas of practice is that otherwise it's quite straight that the smaller players can get slightly lost in the process because they don't have the time or the resource to look at some of these things. So again, I think that's quite interesting. It came out of the human rights discussion this morning. Andres, conscious we're sort of slightly running low on time, but how does this all look from the Argentinian perspective?
No, I think in terms of water use, water treatment, we know that all these solutions required a very specific knowledge within the winery. And therefore, to make it easy for all size winery, for all side of organization, it's nice to have this kind of roadmap that allows you to follow this step. They say first focus on measuring, then focus on applying good practice, then focus on technology, and then get together with other wineries to find the proper solution to some problem that you have on your own. Because generally, you need to have, or with local research institution, a solution to problems in terms of water are complex. In Argentina, we have this local program of sustainability, the local sustainability program of Bodegas de Argentina, and we build it with experts from the field, but also with wineries, and we build the water chapter there together. But for example, when I say that things and solution can be complex, for example, for us, 30% of wastewater have high salinity. So we decided to just evaporate that as a best treatment, because if we mix it with the rest of the water, then we will need pure water to dilute that to get to the standard. Also, the regulation here for reusing is very tough. So we have then a wastewater treatment plan for the rest. And we irrigate some wheatgrass, because we cannot irrigate the vineyard as they are organic, and the organic certification does not allow the reuse of wastewater treatment. However, we start seeing like there is no value on that land. We are just irrigating that as a good end of the process. So we were willing to redesign with creating a small forest with that water use. But then we realized if we are having a forest, we will need to have pure water coming from other source in order to have a healthy forest that give us some environmental service. So we get to this idea. Sometimes an idea that we have is very complex. And now for this small 4-hectare project, we are involved with different 2 or 3 different research group with a technical institution just to get one project for one winery. What we want to say is that we want to share that knowledge. And if we make it together with other wineries, maybe we can create a way that reuse of water can be useful for the rest of the winery here in Mendoza, but because we will know that every solution that we find won't be applied for the French, for Chile, or even from other area or for Argentina. So I agree with Nicolas to have this kind of roadmap on how to build the recipe, but the recipe needs to be regional, as water is a very regional issue.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. And I think that's a good place to end, because I think it both demonstrates that, and I hope in our 40-minute canter around the waters of wineries, I think we've demonstrated that there's quite a lot of aspects to address. And despite the fact that it might apparently seem a simple thing to just use less water, that actually when you start to look at what that means, you're dealing with quite a lot of different sets of activity, some of which are obvious, like, you know, washing equipment, but others are less so. But also that although a conference like this necessarily has to divide out different aspects of sustainability, you can't really see one without linking it to the others. You know, Andres' last point about you can't use water for one thing, but so can you use it for something different. Also the link between water usage and energy usage. So I think we've it's been a very quick canter around these issues, but I'd like very much to thank Robert, Nicola and Andres for, as always, excellent inputs. And thank you all for listening. See you all again later.